The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m., 930 a.m., and 1270 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Sometimes you might hear people complain that there are no young people coming to church anymore, and we want you to know that's not true. And we're interviewing a great young couple today, Kristen and Ted Riley, and they're very involved in the church and passing on their faith to their five children. Now, I'm Kim Haggerty with Frank Hannigan, and we're here from the Marriage and Family Ministries Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we want to welcome you, Ted and Kristen, to Marriage and Family Matters.
Welcome, guys. Glad you're here today.
Thanks for having us.
So we're excited to have you here. You've been involved with us for a number of years. Can you tell us how you got involved with, let's start with the family. Let's go back there. How long have you been married?
So we've been married for 8 years now, and we've got five wonderful kids. So our oldest daughter, Mary, is seven. Our son, Teddy, is six. Matthew is two. Timmy is four.
And, you almost forgot Tim.
And, well, I kind of jumped over, mixing it up. And Janie is 1 year old, so we've been very blessed. And how we got involved in this was when Kristen and I went for our pre-Cana to get ready to get married, we were fortunate enough to have Frank as our pre-Cana presenter. And we were very inspired by what he did that day. And we were excited to get involved in it a couple years later ourselves and have enjoyed hosting pre-Canas probably for 5 or 6 years now. So,
well, wonderful. Very good.
So, Kristen, you do the pre-Canas with your husband. How does that work out?
Ted pretty much just does all the talking, and we just try to keep him on point.
Kristen tells me when to stop talking, which is equally important.
Yeah, Marilyn, when I would get off point, I feel like Marilyn would send out a fishing reel and line and hook me and just sort of reel me back in.
Exactly.
And she said, well, Frank, usually at this point, Frank likes to talk a little bit about. And I was like, oh, yeah. So you guys, with five children, that would be considered a large family. Maybe not 50 years ago, but certainly in 2016, that's a large family. Did you both come from large families? Or tell us about your sibling and growing up, what that was like.
Sure. And also, just so you guys know, pretty much we're always made aware that five kids is a large family.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Especially the fact that we still live in the city, so... People always point that out, and they often ask, "Are those really all yours?"
No, I'm the nanny.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know any of these people.
So I came from a larger family. I was the oldest of four, and we were all pretty close. So I was a year older than my sister, who's a year older than my other sister, who's 2 years older than my brother. So we were compact. Kristen also came from a family of four, but they were more spread out.
Yeah. So I have two brothers, and both of my brothers have special needs. They have Down syndrome. And then I also have a sister. And so my oldest brother is 6 years older, and then my sister is 5 years older. And then my parents kind of had an upset 40. And Jordan will be turning 20, actually, tomorrow. So, but yeah, so I think both of us really came from big families.
Yeah.
So you came from a family with two kids with special needs in there. Do you think that affected your decision to have a lot of kids?
I mean, it's a good question. I think that I felt almost like I was an only child because my oldest sister, my sister was about 5.5 years older, and then my youngest brother was 14 years younger. So I kind of felt like I was almost an only child. So to myself, I really wanted lots of siblings. Even though I had them, we were much more spread out. And I actually was kind of envious of Ted and his situation because I see how close he is with his siblings. Mm-hmm. And so I did kind of want quite a few, and I wanted them quickly, just to get it over with.
Get on with life, huh?
Yeah, because I do not enjoy pregnancy at all.
Full disclosure here, too, is Frank had a brother with Down syndrome, and right. Our producer has a son with Down syndrome, and I had a special needs daughter. So, I mean, that's part of why we're so especially interested in that and how it affects people later on.
I mean, the
pure love that comes from loving right. these brothers and sisters or children and how that affects you later on. So it sounds like you wanted your kids to have other brothers and sisters close to their age that they could hang out with.
Exactly. And I think just having two brothers with special needs, I think you see how much they teach you about life and just how to give of yourself and how that's truly happiness. And I think that kids kind of force you to step out of yourself and to kind of it's like peeling away the onion mm-hmm. and getting to really mm-hmm. the joy of what it means to give of yourself, which I think it is eternal happiness and joy.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I know, with my younger brother, Eddie, that our five sons that Marilyn and I have are better young men today because they interacted with Eddie for so many years before he passed away. And they know that and they remember that. And that's pretty powerful, too.
Right.
So, to your
point. Well, our kids always like to make a lot of jokes, too, though, because we always say that Scotty and Jordy are angels. But then, the 4-year-old or the 6-year-old will always point out, but then why does he always take all our movies and the chips and he doesn't want to share?
What kind of angel is that, huh?
Exactly.
But I think, from my perspective, it's a great gift in that. They're just so immediately in the present, and they remind us of that. And I think that it sort of eliminated some of the fear that comes with being a parent of a lot of kids is sort of what are the expectations of the outcomes of all those kids and where are they going to all go to school or what are they going to be? And I think that some of the lessons from Jordy and Scotty is, some of the richest life experiences might not be going to a great university or something like that are more typical secular expectations for hopes and wishes for children. And so I think they've been a great gift for the whole family to keep us present, keep us grounded, and remind us what's really important.
Yeah, as Kristen said, pure love, pure happiness, just the little things that would bring such smiles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So as far as growing up, you've been married now for 7 years, 8 years, you said?
Eight years
already. Goes by quickly. What kind of models of marriage did you have as you were growing up?
Well, my parents have been married over 40 years now. And I also come from obviously a very Catholic, conservative family. We went to church every Sunday. Prayer was very much a part of the family routine. So I just really witnessed that commitment and that, when you're married forever. My parents obviously went through difficult times too, and you witness that, but I think that's also very real and seeing that in the struggles, it's actually getting through the struggles that makes the marriage that much more powerful. So I think I had a wonderful example, from my parents. Now, Ted, I think maybe had a different situation.
Yeah. I mean, I love my parents. We had great parents, but my parents, did get divorced when I was in middle school. And, it's funny when I was younger, I almost didn't realize the impact, but as I got older and certainly seeing the example of my in-laws, I recognized the real value and the gift it is to children to have a strong marriage and that foundation for life. So,
we'll be right back and continue our discussion with Ted and Kristen. We'll be back. We're on Relevant Radio, AM 950 in Chicago.
Youth Ministry Leadership Development Summer Institute is an education program for adults who minister to youth in parish settings. This program begins in June and is co-sponsored by the Center for Ministry Development and the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Summer Institute equips leaders with the knowledge, skills, and techniques needed for creative and comprehensive ministry to youth. Scholarships are available. For more information, to register, or to nominate someone for a scholarship, visit formedcatholic.com. That's formedcatholic.com.
Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created? We'll address all of these great questions and more at Echo Chicago this June. Hello, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, Respect Life Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Echo Chicago is a Theology of the Body summer camp for teens and young adults. For the first time ever, the Archdiocese is partnering with Dumox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II. This exciting camp will take place at Benedictine University in Lisle, June 24th to the 30th. Registration is now open. Go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355 for more information. That's respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. All of us feel an echo in our heart to explore God's original creation and His true purpose for us. Join us in June for Echo Chicago.
Welcome back to Marriage and Family Matters. I'm Frank Hannigan, and I'm with co-host Kim Haggerty. And this morning we're talking with Ted and Kristen Riley, a wonderful couple, a young Catholic couple with five children. And we were talking a little bit about their siblings and growing up and their models of marriage. But we'd like to talk a little bit about what I think is sort of a unique thing that you do that perhaps other young couples listening would like to get involved with. And that's you practice or say the rosary on a quite regular basis, try to do it as a daily practice, the rosary with your children every day. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think the key word there is try. Try. It actually was something that after our third was born, Timmy, things started to get a little bit more stressful. We're managing a lot of the time. And so as a part of Lent, we started saying the rosary every night. And then once Lent was over, it was actually the children that started begging for it because we would say it at night and it was a way for them to delay bedtime.
Of course.
Yeah. And
smart kids.
Exactly. And so it just kind of became a regular routine for us. And I think it's really through time that you really start to reap the benefits from saying it every night. It's really a way for us to surrender our worries and also all the benefits of just our children learning about the message of Jesus and Mary and what that means to them and us. And then at the end, we ask them, who do you want to pray for? And that's always interesting and funny because it's sometimes they're just praying for toys or, they're praying for, the whole world.
Every night Teddy prays for the same thing, which is, for everybody in the world and that we all go to heaven. And then anybody else wants to pray for, Teddy immediately tries to remind them that they were included in his prayer for everybody in the world.
They live in the world. Yeah. That's right.
For me, it was an interesting experience. Growing up, the rosary had some very impactful, memories as a young child, specifically my uncle passed away suddenly in a plane crash, when I was about 14 years old. And I remember going to his wake, and we said the rosary there, and it was an extremely moving experience for me that time. But in reality, my family did not say the rosary on a regular basis, and I certainly didn't know the various mysteries or even all the prayers when we started saying it as a family. And it was actually very uncomfortable for me at first to pray out loud with my family, and I recognized it at the time, like, this is awkward. I'm here with my wife and my kids. I should be able to say these words that we all know and believe. But it took me some time to get comfortable with it. But it's become one of the greatest gifts and blessings. And I look at it as a way for us really to sort of establish a domestic church in our home. And we have a routine that our kids know that we do and they can participate in. And we really do see the fruits now. I mean, it's fascinating, you know, last night saying the glorious mysteries. And you know, our kids don't always know the exact title of the mystery, but they know the story of every single one of the mysteries. And I think that that's a pretty awesome thing for a six-year-old to really know the life of Jesus in that intimate way. So it's been a great gift for us, and it gives us a lot of peace. It's still a trial. Not the boys don't always make it all the way till the fifth mystery. Sometimes they get sent to their room a little early. But
now you haven't told Timmy. Now how old is he?
He's four.
He's four. You haven't told him that, you know, he's the reason we started saying the rosary. You were born, son, and we started saying the rosary immediately after that. So I imagine you can pull that out when you need to on him sometime.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. And it's interesting because the 6 and the 7-year-old can say it pretty fluently, the entire rosary. But Tim, we're still fighting him on just saying Hail Mary.
How does it work? I mean, practicality. Do you gather them all around the table? Do you, like, I mean, how do you keep a 2-year-old saying, sitting there?
We restrain them.
With a rosary.
It's, it varies. There's different, you know, it depends how tired we are. It's sort of like, you know, there's a high mass and then there's a low mass. So when we go all out, we'll try to get them all sitting at the table and we'll let them light a candle and we might ring a bell. And kind of go around the table and have each of the kids lead a decade. And then other times when we're a little bit more tired, we might throw up a YouTube video of Father Patrick Payton and sort of let him lead it. Sometimes we'll say it in the car if we've got a long car trip or a road trip someplace. If we've been out visiting family and we're driving home, we'll do it in the car on the way home.
I like that flexibility. That sounds great. So you make it work in your situation. What, you know, for the young couples that are listening today to the program, what suggestions would you give to them? Because if they're thinking, oh, we should do that. We have young kids. That sounds like a great idea. We want to pass the faith on. Then they get to the, oh, now how do we do this exactly? What, you know, I heard you say that it takes some time. Sometimes there's the high rosary. Maybe it's the low rosary sometimes. Maybe we take the lead. Maybe Father Payton takes the lead. What suggestions or what counsel would you give to young couples who would like to do this in their own situation, their own family?
Yeah, I'd say it's really important to establish consistency. And for us, we've said we're going to do this every day, and it can be tough. And there are many days when all 5 kids are put in their room by the time we're halfway through the first decade, and it's Kristen and I saying the rosary by herself. That happens. What I'm trying to grow and work on now is actually not worry so much about what the kids are doing and just sort of really focus on the meditation of the mysteries myself. And it's funny, certainly the older kids, they see that and they follow that example. I think it should be a peaceful thing for me and then that sort of trickles down through the family.
Yeah, I think it's being consistent and then also just starting small. I think, you know, maybe that's just reciting the mystery and then an Our Father and a Hail Mary and then going to the next mystery. I know that, like, for example, yesterday I was traveling. I was in Milwaukee. And so we would, you know, we FaceTimed and I think I ended up saying 2 or 3 Hail Marys with, you know, and they're in the room. But, you know, Ted's screaming at them the entire time to get in their bed. And I'm kind of just saying it by myself. But it's just the consistency of it. And they know it's something that we do every night, no matter where we are.
It seems like such a great thing that you're doing. I mean, you might not think it's such a great thing, but it is such a great thing because kids really learn what they see. And they're seeing that this is important to you. And we know that parents are the primary educators of the faith. And if the faith isn't practiced in the home, it's probably not going to be practiced outside the home when the kids get older. So I think it's great that you're doing this with them.
Yeah, and for us, it's actually just been a very easy method. I mean, I feel often very lazy, and I feel that I could do more. I could read to them more. I could make them brush their teeth more. There's so much more I could do. But this has been the one priority for us, and it's just been an easy way for us to educate them and also teach them that it's fulfilling God's will that's most important.
Well, we'll be back. We have to take another break, but we'll be back with Ted and Kristen on Relevant Radio, AM 950 in Chicago.
racism define who my neighbor is? As Chicago struggles with out-of-control violence, we need to examine how our faith is impacted. The Social Action Summer Institute, scheduled on July 17 to the 21st at St. Xavier University, will address such issues. Join us for a single day or the full conference as we expand our understanding of issues facing our neighbors. This is a dynamic opportunity for all Catholics. Visit ChicagoPeaceAndJustice.org for more information.
All right, everybody, let's pray the rosary.
Don't forget to say grace.
We have to do what God wants us to do.
My mom laid the foundations for me to discover God.
How does this bring you closer to God?
The path to holiness is in doing God's will.
If you are called to be a priest, that's how you will be fulfilled.
My mom helped me get through difficulties in my discernment.
Think of the big picture. Keep things in perspective. Are you praying?
My mom played a huge role in my journey to the priesthood.
She still does.
Our moms nurture our vocations.
Without my mom being who she is, there's no chance I'd have entered the seminary.
My mom says she had a feeling I would be a priest.
To hear the call of God, we need to be in a position to hear it.
Hearing God starts at home, with the family.
Thank you, Mom.
I would not be at the seminary if it wasn't for you.
Our seminarians were encouraged by their parents to discover God's call in their lives. Do you encourage your son? St. Joseph College Seminary, the best place to discern. For more information, visit cometojoseph.org.
Welcome back to Marriage and Family Matters on Relevant Radio. I'm Frank Hannigan, and I'm with Kim Haggerty. And this morning we're talking with Ted and Kristen Riley. We're having a great conversation about their young family and the amazing job they're doing with their children, passing on the faith. And one of the things that they are doing is saying the rosary with them, and in however format it takes, but consistently doing that. I think it's wonderful. What are some of the highlights? What are some of the things that you can recall and just makes you smile, so proud?
For me, the most rewarding thing is when you ask the kids the mysteries and you hear them tell their version of the story, whichever mystery it might be. And frankly, they know the mysteries better than I do. But you know, it's really, really great to hear a 5-year-old when he says the visitation. And I'll ask Teddy, well, what is the visitation? And he'll say, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And you can ask him, well, what was going on then? And he'll say, well, Elizabeth had a baby in her tummy too, and it was John the Baptist. And he knows all of these things. They learn all of these little nuances to the story of Jesus and the gospel in a subtle way over time. And then their reflections on it, I think, can be really fascinating. That's the highlight for me. I don't know, Kristen, if you have different.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing what we hear from our children. And sometimes we used to go to a bagel place after Mass. And the boys would, whoever was most well-behaved, gets to come into the bagel place and pick out some bagels and everything. The amazing thing was we would think they're not really listening to the homily or anything. And on the ride over in the van, we'd say, well, what did you hear? What did you learn today? And every once in a while, they'd really surprise you. It's like, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. They were listening.
They were
paying. Holy cow. So that's a pretty neat experience, Ted. Well,
and sometimes I think they take out even greater gems, you know, because they have that purity. And so it's just a great way to expose them to it. And we can learn a lot from them.
And I'm sure you'd be a good example, too, as you're doing a pre-cana for the couples to kind of give them examples of how they can pass the Catholic faith on to their children when they have them. A lot of times now people do come to pre-cana, they already have children or they already have a family, and now they're getting married and now they want to pass on the faith, and you're a good example for that.
Absolutely. So let's switch then. What you're talking about dealing with little children. Let's talk about dealing with young adults.
Engaged couples.
Engaged couples. You've been with pre-cana for how many years?
I think 5 or 6 years now. Yeah. Yeah. And so we've hosted mostly all at Catholic Charities here, but we've done one or two at different venues around the city at times. Mm-hmm. But there's, probably a couple hundred couples, I guess, at this point that we've had the pleasure of meeting. Some of whom we still keep in touch with, which is
really
great.
That's great stuff.
Yeah. We've also – it's also fun sometimes. There's people, you know, show up in the room, and that's also been great at times. But for us, you know, we started doing it because, you know, we did a one-day pre-Cana. It started at 9 in the morning. It was done at 4 in the afternoon, and it was a really wonderful experience for us. And but I felt like we could do more.
Yes.
And it's sort of a thing that's, for us initially, for me, was a way to revisit those conversations. And, you know, marriage isn't like one and done. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah, right.
And so for us, it's a great way to come back to that. And then hopefully share whatever nuggets we've picked up along the way with some other people. But I do think encouraging prayer is a big thing. And I think that our culture doesn't really it's less normal to pray out loud with a family or even in your home. And so I think encouraging that to be a part of the couple's life is something we enjoy doing. But then there's also the practical conversations. You know, it's always interesting. Different people in the room have different come from different places. You know, some people are very, very well prepared for marriage and pre-Cana. Other people have never had a conversation about any of the stuff that
we
talk about.
Yeah, some of these topics are like, these aren't surprising topics.
Yeah,
so
you'd think they'd get into it. You know, I had an interesting conversation with a good friend of ours, Father Sean McGraw down in Notre Dame. And he was mentioning how some couples were complaining that a two-day pre-Cana was too much time, too much for them to commit. And, you know, his joke was, well, for me to take my holy orders, I had to go to school for 6 years. I don't know. You guys get off pretty easy in 2 days.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like your point about we don't like to have one and done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've incorporated the Catholic couple checkup, so a premarital inventory, and then the marriage preparation program itself, the pre-Cana that couples go to. And we've made that now where it's customized and personalized so the engaged couples can click on videos afterwards that pertain to them, in particular, whether it's a step family or second marriage or their military cohabitation, whatever it might be. And then there are months of follow-up. So they get an electronic newsletter, Kim, that you've worked on for years.
Yeah, that comes out. So every month a couple will get something, just 800 words, because we know people don't like to read too much anymore. But just something, a topic that we think would be helpful in the first years of marriage. And then we also have 5 workshops in the first year of marriage that's part of the pre-Cana fee. Couples can come to that and, you know, talk with other couples or talk to each other about specific topics that, again, we think would be helpful in the first year or so.
Yeah, and then the Moments, Memories, Perpetual Calendar that, you know, all of us who do pre-Cana mm-hmm. pass out to the engaged couples, mm-hmm. they love that. And when I share with them that, you know, one lady told me that, you know, she and her husband get up at the same time every day. They go to the room or, you know, in their bedroom and take a look at what it says for that day. And it's like, wow, that's pretty good stuff. And another lady said, well, she put hers on the back of the toilet so her husband would see it every day. So, you know, there are different sacred places in different homes. So,
I think those resources are crucial. I think the pre-Cana is a great way to start those conversations, but giving them the tools to continue having those conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Ted and Kristen, I can't believe we're over. Thank you so much for talking to us today about your
Thanks
family and your family rosary. And learn more about the Marriage and Family Ministries office at our website, marriageandfamilyministries.org. And thank you so much for listening.
We'll see you next month. Take care.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV.